RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and flavor. Welcome to Flavor in Your Ear. Flavor. It's been an eventful week, as it normally is. You know, I'm going to talk a whole lot of pop culture today. I'm going to talk a little politics, too, which seems to be intermingling and intertwined with pop culture, and it seems like sports is as well. But there's some crazy things happening in our world, definitely with politics and the tax bills and tax cuts, allegedly. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And I also want to talk about the NFL with, you know, Jerry Richardson and him and the Carolina Panthers. Jerry Richardson is the owner for the Carolina Panthers. He pretty much, from some of these stories, was doing as he pleased, where he pleased, how he pleased throughout the building for many, many years. Just kind of, you know, very much like a lot of the other billionaires that we've heard that have been rolling around our community, telling women to stand up to look at their jeans and commenting on them. You know, I mean, not rape allegations, but just disgusting old man type stuff. So Jerry Richards has been doing that for a long time. There's been allegations of, you know, racial slurs. Now, let me say this before I finish. If you look for somebody who's going to be using racial slurs and acting like an old, dirty pig, I think NFL owner would be maybe the first place you would go. And it seems like everybody's always shocked when they're hearing things like this. Like, people are shocked when they hear an NFL player that works for the NFL Network is trying to push up on a young lady. Yeah, I could have told you that. There's certain things that that don't shock me anymore. They can't shock you. It'd be like somebody saying, oh, I got raped in prison. Yeah, that's kind of what happens in prison. And it seems to be that way now. It just seems that dirty old farts with a lot of money have been abusing women for a long time. They really have. And this clown, Jerry Richardson, who to me is still getting treated like royalty. You have to figure a lot of these actors and, you know, different people in Hollywood, especially Harvey Weinstein, because that was the root of the whole thing, him and Bill Cosby. You got to figure, you know, when these guys, the allegations came out, you know, Bill Cosby, his career was already washed up, and you see him walking in the court all the time, acting like he's blind. I'm not sure he's blind anymore, but you know, when you with Jerry Richardson from the Carolina Panthers, the owner, when this is all said and done, you know what's going to happen to him? Not a goddamn thing. Nothing's going to happen to him. Other people were losing their jobs. Other people were losing their ability to make money, and when this is all said and done, Jerry Richardson, who, by the way, bought the Carolina Panthers for $206 million way back when. $206 million is what he paid for the Carolina Panthers. And he's going to sell the Panthers for something close to $2.5 million. So woe is me. So you got a chance to act an ass for all those years, and then for a consolation prize, you're going to make over $2 billion on the way out. And he's going to turn around and say, all y'all kiss my ass on the way out. And nothing's going to happen to this old rich bastard. And everybody else is just losing their jobs. And nobody else can work anymore. And really, really nothing. All that's going to happen is this guy's going to get a slap on the wrist. And that's it. You know, there's 32 NFL owners out there. These guys should be dying for this guy to get out of here, because this guy's the epitome of what people's perception, you know, of an NFL owner is. Now, there's a couple of names that are surfacing as people that could possibly buy the Panthers. P. Diddy's the one name that's coming up, and he's at the forefront letting people know that that's what he wants to do. To me, the NFL owners, the other 31 owners, should be going and supporting him immediately, just because something has to change. And when there's not a brown Asian, Indian, black, nothing. There's just 31 white owners. You need to sprinkle something in there. You have to, just to have a different mentality, because they all have a certain mentality. You could might as well put it in, you know, Goodell in there too as number 33. But P. Diddy is looking to raise money. P. Diddy's worth about $1 billion himself. He's going to put some people together to try to muster up $2.5 billion, which, you know, he knows people like, you know, Chris Rock's name has come up. Ironically, he brought Colin Kaepernick's name up, which tells me that P. Diddy is not going to succumb to the other 31 billionaires. If before you purchase this thing, you're bringing Colin Kaepernick's name up, then you don't give a rat's ass about the other guys, because that's the guy who everybody else is scared of. But to me, that would be the best thing that could possibly happen to the NFL, is if they would just let P. Diddy in. Now, it's obviously going to be a lot more complicated than that. And it's not going to be that easy for P. Diddy to bring up that much money. But, boy, it's hard. It's hard to lose money. If you have enough money to invest in an NFL team, it's hard to lose money. Because you got to figure, I'm thinking back to the Glazers and when they purchased the Bucks. And I may get these numbers wrong. I mean, that was so dang long ago. You know, at that time, the Bucks were worth, you know, a couple $100,000. And I guess the story was they went and they borrowed 40-something million dollars, which they had. That's what wealthy people do. They borrow money, which they have, and before that's over, that money's doubling upon itself. So you got to figure, if the Glazers way back in the 90s bought an entity that was worth, we'll say $200 million, and they borrowed $47 million, last year they made $400 million. They made that. So you got to figure all the way through, they're just stacking money upon money as their entity is appreciating tenfold. So if you have enough money, that much money, to purchase an NFL team, I'd do it in a second. And then you roll around like royalty, which, you know, something that, you know, P. Diddy's probably doing anyways. That's not it. But, you know, P. Diddy, you know, there's a lot of people out there rolling their eyes when they hear P. Diddy. But to me, P. Diddy's a lot more equipped than any other NFL owner who probably got their money from daddy. Not all of them, but there's going to be some owners that got money from daddy, and then they're going to go and they're going to invest in a team, and then once again, their money is absolutely, positively never going to go away after that. So we'll see what happens with this whole Jerry Richardson thing, you know. But to me, it's still becoming disgusting that, you know, people with that much money were allowed to do as much as they have for that long. It's been a long, long time that people have been allowed this thing to happen, that's for sure. Now, it's the first day of winter today. I hope everybody's all bundled up. It's so cold here in Florida. It's amazing. I have my parka on for anybody that's listening elsewhere. I don't. It is still damn hot here, and I can't wait for it to cool down a little bit. But it's the first day of winter out here, and Christmas is right around the way. I'm not a real big Christmassy guy. I don't really purchase a whole lot of presents. That's what my wife kind of likes to do, so I let her do. That's fun. So I purchased one present yesterday. It was for Tony Burton, who happens to be the agent for Mike Calta. He's also, I think it might be Howard Stern's agent, big agent in New York. We're doing this, you know, this gift exchange tomorrow on the Mike Calta show. So I bought him a Vinny Testaverde jersey. And then I went and I got Vinny to sign it. I'm no dummy. You know, I looked up Vinny Testaverde signed jersey, and it was worth $250, and the jersey was worth $50 unsigned. So the business genius that I am, I went to Vinny. I hung out with him a little bit. He was over there golfing at Old Memorial, so I rolled up and had some lunch with him. Another old Buccaneer, Casey Weldon, rolled through. But I got a chance to get the jersey signed, and then I overnighted it yesterday. And much to my dismay, it cost $60 to overnight that damn parcel from Tampa to New York. $60 to overnight a parcel. So I paid $50 for the jersey, and it was $60 to overnight, so I guess I'm still making out a little bit. But there's people making money hand over fist when around this Christmas time. That is for sure. Now, I also work at 102.5 The Bone, and I ran into a situation yesterday. Did a show early in the morning, 5 o'clock. Realized I forgot my wallet, and it's hard enough to get into that building when you don't have all the credentials. I finally got in the building. On the way out after I did my show from 5 to 6, then I realized I didn't have any money. So I had to head back over the bridge, and my gas is at zero. So I pull out whatever I had in my glove compartment. I had $4. You put $4 in a Jaguar. If it says, you know, my car is very digital, so it's not like an arrow. It's just, it says 5 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles. It tells you how many miles you have. And I was at 0 miles. And I was at the base, I was at the bottom of the bridge of Gandhi, and I had to go all the way over. So I put $4 in, thinking it's going to get me over the bridge. And when you put $4 of gas in a car, it goes from 0 miles to 0 miles. So literally, $4 of gas gets you no miles. So then, in modern day technology, I Google, how many miles do you have on an empty tank of gas? And I asked a bunch of people that today, and how many miles do you think you have on an empty tank of gas? Well, I'm going to tell you the answer. 30 to 50 miles. And I had this argument on the air today with the lovely JoJo Petrella. She says, that doesn't make any sense. And I said, it absolutely makes sense. We are saving car dealerships are saving ourselves from ourselves because we're not very smart. And as you see, I'm not very smart. I let the damn car run out. And if I had 5 miles left, I would have run out of gas. So knowing how lazy and stupid we are, they put 50 extra miles. They didn't put it on there. They just moved the lever a little bit, which makes a whole lot of sense to me. You got to think. And then, you know, JoJo's looking at me like, that doesn't make sense. Well, let me tell you, these are some of the things happening in our world. Tell me if we're smart enough to make our own decisions anymore. They built a train that goes 80 miles an hour and has a turn with a 30-mile-an-hour limit on this track. And while the train is going 80 miles an hour around a turn with a 30-mile-an-hour limit, the conductor was in the middle of the train, I think, taking a poop or something. And next thing you know, a bunch of people are dead, a bunch of people are injured, and there's every last train car derails. By the way, this was the inaugural run. In the inaugural run of a train, I believe it's going to school in Portland or Seattle or somewhere in that area. In the inaugural run of a train, who'd want to go on that run? We've heard of inaugural runs before and Titanic and, oh, it's beautiful and it's on. No way. And in 2017, if there's a speed limit of 30 miles an hour, why are you allowing a train to go 2.5 times the speed limit? Like, why is that even possible? Then I hear afterwards that there is a contraption that limits the speed, but the train didn't have it on it. It wasn't present. So we're that dumb. We better keep an extra 50 miles on our car on E, because those kind of stories happen all the time, and I don't get it anymore. Our technology shouldn't allow stuff like that to happen. Think of all the millions and billions of dollars that they spent on that train for it to derail in the first and in the inaugural launch. It's going to derail. Yeesh. I don't know if we're getting smarter personally, or I don't know if we're getting dumber. I really don't. I'm not sure which one it is. So, you know, when I'm seeing stories like that, it makes me start to wonder what's happening in our fine world. And like, that's just a technology part. Obviously, you know, all this stuff every day, different names are surfacing with Harvey Weinstein-ish type stuff every day. And it's making me wonder what's happening there too. What has been happening throughout my world? Maybe when my eyes were closed, I'm not sure. Because I don't, like a lot of these allegations that are happening, I think I've been around Harvey Weinstein type people, but I don't think I've ever seen a lot of it. Then again, maybe they don't do it in front of everybody. I don't know. But I've been around rich people before. I don't know if it's just rich. It's rich, powerful, and it's also a little demented as well. But Harvey Weinstein, I was watching TMZ, one of my favorite shows, and they're showing Harvey Weinstein and his wife, who, by the way, is gorgeous. This is the one thing about Harvey Weinstein. He wasn't touching no ugly girls now. He wasn't touching no five, sixes, and sevens. He was just going after dime pieces, period. And he was going after and assaulting women that would never pay him any mind. They would never. I guess that's where the power struggle comes into play. I don't know what Harvey Weinstein's wife's name. He's still married, by the way, which is shocking. They were talking about Harvey Weinstein's prenup. You tell me if this is a prenup of somebody who's creepy. His prenup is constructed of if and when they get divorced in the first 4 years, every year that she amasses in the first 4 years, she gets $250,000. So if she lasts 4 years, she gets $1 million. That's $250,000 a year. It adds up $25,000 a month after that, every month. Isn't that weird? Isn't that a little bit weird that you're talking about something that's supposed to last forever and you're breaking it down into months? You don't think Harvey Weinstein and his wife knew? You don't think Harvey Weinstein's wife knows he's a pig? You don't think that? There's no doubt in my mind. Harvey Weinstein's wife knew exactly what she was marrying into. Well, she's marrying to a lot of money, by the way. And at this point, she's amassed $12 million. So if she divorces Harvey Weinstein today, she gets $12 million, which is really not a lot of money in his world. But the longer she stays on, the more money she gets. So if she lasts another year, she probably gets, well, she's making $25,000 a month to stay with him. I don't know how much money's worth that. But you have to figure this. If you're Harvey Weinstein's wife, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say Harvey Weinstein's wife hates him. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. She hates his guts because he's disgusting. And the last thing she wants to do is have sex with Harvey Weinstein. I mean, just looking at him, that'd be the last thing most women, I hope, would want to do. But think about this for a second. If Harvey Weinstein's living with a young lady that's married to him, you don't think he's taking that? He's taking everything else. What people don't want to hear is that his wife saying how he took it. You don't think Harvey Weinstein is taking that in his own house? You guarantee she's earning that $25,000 a month. He ain't giving it that for free. That dirty, disgusting pig. But this whole thing has gone crazy because I was watching a couple other interviews and they had the young guy from, I think it was a PBS show. I've never watched this show before. It was a brother. His name is Tavis Smiley. Now, unfortunately for Tavis, he was outed allegedly in the same time as a lot of these other people. But what Tavis is saying is, listen, I'm a young horned up cat. I'm a young horned up cat with a bunch of money. And I want to get some. And I'm at the workplace. He goes, I work. And this is him speaking. That's not verbatim, but this is kind of the crux of what he's trying to get accomplished. He said, Listen, I'm an active cat. I work 5 days a week in this, you know, situation here. I'm in a studio. There's lovely ladies everywhere. When I leave here, I go home, I go to sleep. He goes, so really, I meet women at work. He goes, so listen, I banged a lot of chicks at work. What do you want me to do? But I'm the man. I'm sorry. I'm the man, and I banged a lot of chicks at work. Is it to the point now where if you're somebody's superior, you can't sleep with them? Because I think that's what's going to have to be enacted some way, because the second you sleep with your superior or somebody below you, soon as they complain, you're in trouble. Soon as they complain, you are in trouble of losing your job. So I don't know if this is going to make people more leery. I don't know if it's going to have to, we have to figure out a way to get these in. You know, the laws, I'm not sure, but it's a funky, funky place right now because I know there's a lot of bosses that have had situations with, you know, their employees and down the way that are looking over their shoulder waiting for something to happen. And you better hope that that employee doesn't ever, ever, ever get disgruntled, not in this day and age. If that happens, I think everybody out there is going to be in trouble. So I'm just waiting for this wave to stop. I'm not positive the wave's going to stop. I mean, I guess it would have to, but where it's going to end, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's not going to end with everybody in damn Hollywood being in jail, seriously. Because what happens is it seems like every freaking person in Hollywood, you know, has been acting an ass the whole damn time, that's for sure. Now, other crazy things I read up on this week. I know that Tupac's murder keeps on coming back up. And then they found out they found a gun from Tupac's murder, allegedly, or the murder, the gun, in 1998 in Compton in somebody's backyard. They found the murder weapon. And then from L.A., which they found the murder weapon and said it was a murder weapon, they tried to transport it to Las Vegas, and now the gun is misplaced. What's going to have to happen for somebody to finally say, this has to be an inside job somehow? It has to be the cops, doesn't it? Or the cops have to be involved. I would think it has to be that way. Because it seems like it gets to the cops, and then everything gets dissolved. The cops have to have surveillance cameras. The cops have to know who killed somebody in Las Vegas at a Mike Tyson fight when every freaking camera in the world is on. Somebody doesn't want somebody to get outed. That's it. So, you know, they're having the whole series on it. I haven't been really watching it that much, but I'm kind of watching excerpts here and there. And they were telling this stuff to Tupac's brother. Tupac's brother never even heard that they found the murder weapon. He never heard that. So somebody's hiding something from somebody, that's for sure. And I've kind of had my eye on that for a long time, and that's something that I've always said, if Garth Brooks and Travis Tritt get murdered in the middle of Trafalgar Square, they're going to find out who did it, right? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And to be this long afterwards, they're never going to find the people, by the way. They ain't going to find them because they're going to make sure they're not found. Now, another crazy thing I saw, I'm a big Jay-Z fan. And Jay-Z is actually, he's doing a documentary on Trayvon Martin. You know, the young man who was ridiculously killed in a neighborhood at night when he was just walking with a hoodie. That kid. That some of you guys thought deserved it, because I heard some of you say that. By the way, just walking, minding his own business in a neighborhood. And then when the mighty George Zimmerman rolls up in there, like Johnny Do-Right, with his fake badge and his gun, and when he rolls up on Trayvon Martin and starts to get his ass kicked, he's allowed to shoot this poor young boy who's defending himself. You know what's makes me so mad about that thing? I used to be that young kid walking to my friend's house at night with a hoodie on, and if somebody approaches me in the middle of the night and you get within 3 feet of me, we're fighting. If I don't know you, don't approach me. And we have a young man who's, you know, scared for his life, and some vigilante type cat approaching him. And at the end of it, the young man is dead and George Zimmerman got off. That's what's wrong with our whole system right now. And if you think George Zimmerman did anything right or nothing wrong, screw you. And then afterwards, when everybody let George Zimmerman walk, they found out George Zimmerman's the biggest scumbag on earth. And Trayvon Martin's parents have to watch this guy walk around the freaking earth. So Jay-Z is doing a documentary on Trayvon Martin, and I guess he went to interview George Zimmerman's parents, and George Zimmerman got wind of it, and George Zimmerman said he's going to feed Jay-Z to an alligator, which I don't know if he's being serious or if this guy's going crazy. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure George Zimmerman's wasn't crazy the whole time. I really don't. And it's pretty evident we let that son of a bitch go. It's pretty damn evident. But our system in general, to me, is it's flawed, that's for sure. It is 100% flawed. Now, another crazy story I saw was LeBron James' tattooist is suing NBA 2K 17 because they use LeBron's real tattoos in the game. And at first that sounded crazy to me. And then it didn't sound crazy anymore. If you're an artist, and he is, and you put art on LeBron, and you put that art in a game where you're making millions of dollars, you got to pay me money. I'm enhancing the game. That's the way it goes. So I want to see what happens with this, because the game's already created. They're making millions of dollars. And this tattoo artist came out and said, well, those tattoos are copywritten. You can't use them. Listen, I've been in that world before where I have somebody, a friend of mine says, hey, I want to nominate you for best dressed something in Tampa Bay. We're going to do a photo shoot. So we did a photo shoot up in my old room, like it's called Skagsuary, with my dog Rudy, and I have a suit on and a hat, and I'm looking clean, right? So we do this whole photo shoot. It comes out great. So we have a bunch of pictures. I'm in a blue suit. I love the pictures. Favorite picture ever. So a couple years later, I say to the photographer, I said, hey, can I get a copy of that picture? You know, I want to use it for my social media. You know what he says to me? $3,000. And I go, to use it in my social media? Yep. If you want to use a picture, $3,000. And what came out of my mouth afterwards, I'm not going to say. It wasn't all that nice. But to me, for me to sit down there for a photo shoot for free and have to pay for a picture, it'd kiss my ass. But a lot of artists are that way. The photographer, he could kiss my ass. This tattooist, I kind of understand it. Because I want the small guy to win. You know, in a situation where I'm sitting there for a photo shoot and I can't get the picture, I'm the small guy. The tattooist is a small guy. The NBA 2K17, they're making ridiculous amount of money. So I'm really curious to see who's going to win in that whole situation. Now, I'm not a big Glee fan nor anybody that I hang around with. There was a young kid from Glee, Mark Salling, I think. He just pleaded guilty for possessing child porn. Now, I saw a picture of this guy. I don't know whether he's gay, straight, or I don't know. Good looking kid. Man, I don't know what's happening in our world to where full-grown ass people are looking at videos and pictures of 4 to 7-year-old people. Like, I don't know what that's called even. Like, it's not really pedophilia because you're not touching them. But you're watching videos of kids between the ages of 4 and 7? I don't even know what that's called. Seriously. But it just seems like Hollywood is just, nobody wants to have consensual sex anymore and consensual man-on-woman sex anymore in Hollywood. It's got to be freaky. There's got to be lots of drugs involved with it. There's got to be somebody of the same sex involved with it. There's got to be a midget in there somewhere. There's got to be something, but Hollywood's crazy, man. And as all this stuff is surfacing, it's really going to surface soon. I'm telling you, it's really going to, something's going to surface. I'm not sure what, but there's a ring of bad stuff on the underbelly of a lot of stuff that's happening in LA. That's for sure. And I don't know. I don't want to be anywhere around all that stuff because nobody should have a stomach for that. Now, one of the otter stories that I hear, and it's kind of near and dear to my heart. I'm not a big Christmassy type guy, but I love The Grinch. And there was a kid that watched The Grinch, and this young man, after he watched The Grinch, called 911 on The Grinch because the Grinch stole Christmas, and he's not supposed to steal Christmas. So this young kid calls 911, and what was really cute was the police officers, I guess, were sent to the scene to comfort the kid and joke around with the kid a little bit. So I thought that was great. And then I thought to myself, arrest that kid. First of all, I love The Grinch. You shouldn't be calling 911. Kid was about 6. I'm just joking about the arresting thing. But I thought that was kind of cute that the kid called 911 The Grinch. But the kid has to learn. You just can't be dialing 911 whatever the hell you want to dial 911. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully the parents take a little reins on this kid. Okay, that's enough of the fluffy stuff. Let's get to politics, which is not fluffy in this day and age. Crazy, yes. Fluffy, no. I've been sitting back and listening to this tax bill thingy crap. and I'm trying not to comment too much because I really, I'll just be honest with you. I don't quite understand all of it. I think I understand, the nucleus of it or what it's about, kind of, because I'm just letting people explain it to me because the president did a speech the other day. And after he finished the speech, and it wasn't that long on just the tax cuts and explaining what the tax cuts do, I rewound it and I listened to it again. And then I stopped it, then I rewound it and I listened to it again. And I keep on coming up with the same thing, and that's what everybody else is telling me. You're really just giving tax cuts to really, you know, not rich people, wealthy people. That's who's getting the tax cuts. And for me to sit up there and in the middle of the day, watch the president giving a speech, and he's telling us how great this was going to be. By the way, they had the vote, and I want to say it was 3 votes off or something like that, but they won it. Obviously, the Republicans won it. Zero Democrats voted yes. Zero. How can you pass something when not one person from one side voted yes? We talk about divisive. This is the epitome of divisiveness, seriously. And it was still passed. Then I watched this, speech in the midday on the front steps of the White House, and they had the whole Republican Party there. So I want to say it was, well, we got to figure. The vote was 224 to 201. So we got to figure, if there was 0 Democrat votes, it was 224 people on the steps at the White House. Anybody want to guess how many black people? Go ahead. If you guess more than one, you're wrong. There was one. Now, he was strategically placed directly behind Donald Trump. Strategically. Okay? And I'm looking around. I kept on panning. I'm like, there's not even a panned person in there, more or less anybody of any color. So this one brother is in the back. And I'm just thinking, that's the guy. So as Donald Trump is talking and he's doing his long speeches, and he says, and we're going to do a lot for the poor communities. And I go, there it comes. Then he stops and he introduces the brother. And I go, that's what he was there for. Then the brother stepped up, and the brother said, we're going to use trillions of dollars to improve our poor communities. Bullshit. None of those 224 people on those steps, and we could argue this all day, give a rat's ass about anybody who's poor. All those guys are rolled up in their private jets. When was the last time they even rubbed elbows with somebody who was poor? Get the fuck out. No, that's the kind of stuff to me that drives me nuts. It drives me absolutely nuts. And it's not good. I mean, when I'm hearing what the bill is really about, and then I got to hear somebody say, well, I'm going to save $600 on my tax bill, and I'm going to use the $600 towards investments and improving my home. I would love for somebody to give me $600, but if you're in a world where $600, like, I can give $600 to a bum on the street. I'm sorry if bum offends anybody, but bums don't listen to podcasts. I can give $600 to a bum on the street, and the next week he's going to be broke. So $600 wouldn't affect a bum's life. You're going to talk about $600 affecting a middle-class person's life? Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm a middle-class person. I'll tell you what my taxes are. $600, I mean, my taxes have a bigger bowel movement than $600. Come on, that ain't helping no damn body. But the higher-ups, though, the wealthy people, they are getting mad broke off. 21%? 21%? I don't have to do that math. 21% of anything, for God's sakes, is ridiculous. Then I read the great Rosie O'Donnell, who I find funny in a funny... I think I like Rosie O'Donnell because Donald hates her. I think that's why I like her, unfortunately. So the great Rosie O'Donnell actually went out there on social media. She was trying to bribe Republicans for votes. She was telling she was going to give Republicans $2 million for a vote. Like I said, I think that's funny, but the last time I checked, Rosie, I think that's against the law, I believe, to try to bribe politicians for votes. I have a funny, funny feeling, Rosie, that that is completely against the law. So I'm sitting back watching this, and it's kind of like the O.J. Simpson verdict, when I have black people saying, we won. The hell you win? You didn't win nothing. Everybody listening to me, you didn't win nothing. Because once again, wealthy people aren't listening to this podcast. We don't even get a chance to rub elbows with the wealthy people. You see a rich person every once in a while. I'm not talking about that guy. And everybody on those steps, those are the people that were going to benefit from it, okay? And for Donald Trump to bring the one brother up there and talking about, we're going to be helping single mom parent, get out of here. No, you're not. You never have and you never will. Is that me being cynical? No, that's just me living in this world, unfortunately. Because I've never one time in any situation ever really heard the government really care about anybody that doesn't have. Because it doesn't take much to go around and see people that don't have, and believe me, they don't have. You know, I have a foundation, Ian Beckles Foundation, and we do stuff for kids. And when I go to a school, like I go to a school in Bush Boulevard. No, I live here in South Tampa. Bush Boulevard is not that far away, okay? I go to Bush Boulevard, and I go into a school, and they show me their, eating quarters or their cafeteria. The floor is dingy and dirty. The walls were three-toned. There was three different colors on the wall. It almost looked like a penitentiary. And I was like, well, how are these kids going to excel when they're coming into something that looks like a dungeon? And I said to the principal, I said, why doesn't somebody paint the walls? And this was his answer from the principal. I go, why doesn't somebody paint the walls? And his answer was, we don't have a budget for that. And I'm thinking, with all the things that we're building throughout our, community, roads and buildings, and there's not a budget for a coat of paint on a school to liven up a school that our kids are going to, our underprivileged kids are going to. Plant ain't going to look like that. Jesuit ain't going to look like that. Berkeley ain't going to look like that. But this school over there in Bush, which is predominantly black, by the way, it looks like that. And I think that's the problem. When people are talking about trillions of dollars and poor people can't get a wall painted, that's the problem. There's definitely a disconnect between whatever's happening in the White House, on the front lawn, on the front steps, and poor people. Before it gets to poor people, it's dissolved. Trust me. Because, and I've never been poor. There's times where I've needed. I've not been poor. I've never lived in a poor neighborhood. But I've seen poor. I know what it looks like. I've been around it. And nobody's helping them. Just ask them. Ask them. So, what I'm seeing right now in Congress, I think it's disgusting. And I think I finish my podcast the same way every week. I don't know where this is leading to. But every time I do another podcast, so every time another week comes along, it just seems like we take a step back from humanity. Like, what happened to humanity? What happened to being human? What happened to being a good person? Like, that's going away. Like, nobody cares about people being a good person anymore. Like, if a football coach wins, they could be the biggest asshole in the world, and don't worry about it. They win. Like, no, you're still supposed to be a good person. I mean, I would like my president to be a likable person. I would like that. If he's likable to you, congratulations. But he looks like a Wolverine to me. No time in my life that I want to be around that or anything around him. Because once again, if there's 224 of them and there's one brother, that ratio's not good. It's a bad ratio. And we've talked before, I've said there's a number in Hollywood I think 4% of the writers in Hollywood are African-American. We just don't have a voice out there. And with Donald Trump, you know, as a leader, that voice is going away even more so. So I'm hoping for the best. But it just seems like all the stuff that we accomplished prior is being erased completely on purpose, or it sure seems that way. Sure seems like it's on purpose. So that being said, it is Christmas week. Hopefully you guys have saved your money and everybody around you gets what they want. That's kind of getting kind of silly to me too, because I'm getting kind of old. My kids are old, and it's, you know, there's a lot of things that are more important. Like, you know, being a good person. I think that's what Christmas started off about, being a good person. And then somehow it kind of morphed into presents and Amazon. So Christmas is all about Amazon right now. If you're smart, you'd go invest in Amazon. That's definitely a smart thing to do. Now, I also have another podcast, In the Trenches, which is about football and our beloved Buccaneers, who are 4-10 and trending. Yay. I don't know why they're not really trending. They stopped trending after John Gruden left town. So I have another podcast, In the Trenches, if you guys are into football, also on Radio Influence and iTunes and the whole nine yards. If you guys want to get in contact with me, it's Ian Beckles at Radio Influence. If you guys have any questions or anything out there, if you're looking for something to do Saturday, I'm going to be DJing at Elmer's on McDill, which is south of Gandy. The party's going to be from 7 to midnight. I'll be DJing from 8 to 12. DJ Don Pablo will be there from 7 to 8. There's a lot of very interesting people showing up, a lot of media, a lot of good-looking folks, and we'll be playing some old-school type music. And we're not going to be playing a lot of Fetty Wap and a lot of stuff that's going on now, Lil Uzi Vert, none of that. There's going to be a lot of Stevie Wonder and Bob Marley and NWA, and it's going to be uncensored since Elmer's don't give a shit. They never did, and they never will. Don't dress up, by the way. This ain't no cotillion. I'm wearing my Crocs because that's what I wear up in Elmer's. That's how we do it. So if you want to come hang out on Saturday, we're also going to try to raise some money for the children's home as well by, you know, selling some Tito's drinks and some Bud Light. And like I said, Christmas should be about, you know, giving back to people that don't have and not being quite so dang greedy. So let's go and hang out at Elmer's Saturday night. I would get there early because I got a funny feeling it's going to be a zoo. And zoos are good when you're trying to raise some money. So appreciate talking to you guys, and I'll be back next week. Be safe all week long. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles. And check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor. Flavor. Bringing that flavor.
This is a Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
Who's easier to teach a new system to? A veteran from another system, this is pertaining in the NFL, or a rookie from college going into the NFL? And it does depend upon the quarterback. Now, some veteran quarterbacks can easily convert terminology into something that he already knows, just called differently. Intelligence is the most important quality for a quarterback, along with accuracy, because a quarterback first has to know where to go with the ball, and then he has to get it there accurately. Okay, it's why the best quarterbacks are good at what they do. Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know the ones. Some of them may not have the best physical gifts that you've seen, but they're good at knowing where to go with the football, getting it out on time accurate. You know, you can see certain quarterbacks that come into the league. A Boomer Esiason was a very accurate quarterback. Here's a quick study. Donovan McNabb struggled a little bit. He wasn't as accurate. So I think those are some things to keep in mind in terms of the rookie quarterback can come in. if he's played under center, if he knows how to read defenses going back, well, then he's going to have a better chance of having success than somebody who's going to have to learn from playing out of the shotgun. It doesn't mean that they can't do it. It just means that their background is such that they're going to have to learn some different things. If you can learn, if you're, and here's the way I always look at it and explain it. If you've got somebody that knows how, that's good working with their hands, somebody that might be a good carpenter, might be good at, you know, fixing things around the house, plumbing or what have you, they probably are the type of people that can learn electrical work. Even though they may know nothing about it, they can learn it. They have natural transferable skills to be, to do plumbing stuff and electrical stuff. They may be better at one thing than the other because they may spend more time on it, but they are good at it. Somebody like me that it just can't do anything like that, it doesn't really matter. I'm not good at any of it. So if a player has transferable skills, great capacity and willingness to learn, you can teach them different systems and styles. If their production is based only on their system and they do not have the transferable skills, that's where you're going to get in trouble. That's where a quarterback is likely going to fail. And then if you do a bad job of teaching and developing them, it's going to be another issue.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.